This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In Mecca, she wasn't a believer, but she was his neighbor. So she used to hear him reciting. And he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for a few nights was quiet. He was quiet. And so when she sees him the next day, she says, "Oh Muhammad, I think your shaitan has forsaken you. I think your shaitan must be angry with you." Meaning wherever you're getting this from, this revelation, looks like you messed up. You did something wrong. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was, it hit him. He was worried. Like, wait, did I do anything wrong? Is there something wrong with me? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to tell him he loves him, I think all of us need to realize that Allah loves us. And once you realize that, you act different. When you walk around expecting Allah's punishment, you act one way. But when you walk around knowing Allah loves you, you walk around different. So the verses were revealed after this lady said this, and after Gabriel had not come for a short time, Allah revealed these verses. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى. By the dawn. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we learn about who he was, you know one thing he used to do a lot? He used to look up at the sky a lot. He used to look up at the sky and use that to remind him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma wadduha wal layli idha saja. By the day, as it breaks, the dawn. Wal layli idha saja. And by the night, as it starts to get dark. Allah says, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Lord hasn't forsaken you, and your Lord isn't angry with you. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. But don't worry about this dunya. The akhirah is better for you, O Muhammad. All this mockery, all this difficulty, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah says to him, and soon your Lord is going to give you something, you'll be so pleased. He's speaking to him because of the difficulties. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Didn't he find you as an orphan? Didn't he find you without anything? No one to help you? By yourself? Dad not around? Dad not there? Dad may be physically there, but emotionally not there? Some of us are orphans like that. Maybe now it hits you. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Did he not find you as an orphan and bring you in? You know, awa is like, bring you in. Like when your uncle hugs you, come here. When your grandma brings you in. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And he found you lost. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never worshipped an idol. We're going to hear a narration about that. He never worshipped an idol once in his life. But he didn't know how to connect to God. There's so many people out there like that right now. There's people like that in this room right now. That they want Allah. They want the way. And it's like, I don't want to worship idols. I don't want to worship anything other than God. I don't want to live for anything but God. I just need a way to do it. Allah speaking to Muhammad and he says, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And he found you lost, but then he guided you. Aren't we guided? Alhamdulillah. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And we've been reading the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was poor, broke, no money, nothing. And then Allah enriched him. And we're going to talk about when Allah says he enriched him, how he enriched him. It's beautiful. I want you to look at these verses now from this perspective. That we saw the early stages of his life, surrounded by death. His mother passes, his father's already gone. And now what happens? He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is put in the hands of his grandfather. His grandfather teaches us something. What does the grandfather teach us? The grandfather teaches us that even if you're not the father or the mother, you can always step in and fill someone's gap by showing them love. Baji. Big sis, big brother. Don't blame dad for your little brother or sister. You're still here. Why don't you take her to soccer games? Why don't you take him to basketball practice? Abdul Muttalib jumped in for his father, for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father. But after 2 years, he loses him. At the age of 8, that comfort is taken away. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has learnt from an early point at the tender age of 10 years old that life is filled with struggle. And later he would teach us that Jannah is surrounded by struggle. Do you see how the upbringing made him who he was? I tread lightly saying the word, but a lot of us got to let the Shabab live, go to the school of hard knocks. Y'all know, did I know? I'm saying they know hard knocks. Y'all know hard knocks. The school of life. Allah did not shelter the Prophet from the struggles of life. He sheltered him from the filth of sin. But the struggle of life, Allah put him through it. And a lot of us, young men and young women, our parents wishing the best for us, they didn't shelter us from the sin, but they sheltered us from the struggle. The early Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had every comfort taken away. And he later taught us, you want to get to Jannah? Got to grind. You got to go through the struggle. From a young age, he learned that. Then we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 10 or 12, now moving into the house of Abu Talib. And imagine this, y'all. After being the coolness of the eye of Abdul Muttalib, he goes into the house of Abu Talib, who's got 10 kids. I'm one of 11. You know how it is fighting with your siblings. Who ate my food? This is 10 siblings. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this moment realizes, I can't be someone who takes, I have to be someone who gives back to the family. At the age of 12, he goes and says, Uncle, I'm going to get a job. We know he was given the job of a shepherd. Because as a shepherd, you're responsible for feeding, grazing, protecting, guiding, and bringing people home. Did I say people? Yes, because this was training for what he would do for me and you. He would protect us through his teachings. He would feed us through the spiritual revelation. Wahi is life. Wahi, revelation, that's soul food. That's what your heart needs. And he would protect us and then bring us home. Bring us home. He would teach us that this world is dangerous. And the same way he protected the sheep from wolves, he would protect us from wolves as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then put him to the next stage because he learned the lessons of life. He learned the lessons from that moment in life, but it wasn't time yet. There was still more to learn. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes to his uncle and he says, Unc, and I'ma stop here. Because last week when I said the word unc, I almost shared it with you, but it was an emotional moment. So I was like, let me not break the feeling. But this time I'ma say it. If one of y'all call me unc again, I'ma join the Dallas Muslim Boxing Club. I'm just joking. Time does what it does to us all, yo. You laugh at me, you're gonna be unc one day too. So he goes to his uncle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, Uncle, I've done enough shepherding. I want to be in business and trade. And the scholars say the reason why Allah wanted him to learn that is because people in trade and business know people. They learn people. They learn to read people. They interact with hundreds of thousands of people a month. So they learn people. And this is what he would use later in life when he's telling people they need to sell this dunya and purchase the akhirah. You feel me? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Take any job. Jobs teach you. Ask anyone. Man, we used to bust tables. I was a paper boy. I feel old. I'm doing the unk stuff, right? I don't care. I'm at a point I don't care. Where you're reading about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his life is beautiful. And just reading about him grows your love. Wallahi, Wednesdays have become so beautiful, subhanAllah. So, as a young man, I was like 10, 12, paper boy. I had to do a job. Y'all don't remember because y'all be texting and stuff, right? People used to get these things called newspapers. And they would open them and read them. They had words on paper, right? And there would be a young man who would run through the streets and throw the papers onto the porches. You know what I mean? That's what we did. Early morning. Responsibility. Alhamdulillah. My mother didn't shelter me from that. We didn't have to, but she said, you have to. Do you feel me? She didn't have to, but she said, you have to. So he became a businessman, a man of trade, forcing him to learn how to connect to people. As I said, one day he would be making us, telling us, sell this dunya for the akhirah. And many people would respond. He would later teach us through trade that you don't know a person. The Rasul ﷺ taught us, you don't know a person until you've done three things with them. Traveled, done business, or lived next door to them. Business teaches you so much about a person. So we move forward. And we learned that through trade, he learned how to connect to people. Because connection to other people is the key to the prophetic mission. I really want you to hear what I'm about to say. We're going to get to this next part of his life, and it's so beautiful. But I need you to understand, it's all about knowing how to connect to another soul. It doesn't matter how advanced AI gets, there'll never be an algorithm that can replace a hug. They can't write code to replace the loving glance in an eye that says, I love you. That code will never be written. And that's why the Rasul ﷺ, he came to teach us how to be true human beings. Because no matter how far technology gets, a hug, every morning this man hugs me. Every morning he hugs me. That hug cures so many illnesses in my heart. Every morning he hugs me. Akram. Hugs, you can't replace that. He taught us how to connect. So Allah made him a businessman, so he learned people. But he didn't use the knowledge of people, as I said, to manipulate. He uplifted people through that knowledge. So now, the Prophet ﷺ also, see, part of what he was going through, y'all, was preparing him for his job. But part of what he was learning was letting everybody else see who he was. So that when he came with the message, there was no way they could deny who he was. I need you to feel me on this. I'm going to say it again. Part of the reason Allah put him through this, because I said you don't know people till you do business with them. The Prophet ﷺ, he was made a businessman to know people. But the other reason is so that people knew him. And by the time he's a young man of 17, 18, they're looking at this man and saying, there's no one more trustworthy. There's no one that has more amana. A key word of tonight's halaqa is amana. What does the word amana mean in Arabic? It means to be trustworthy. It means to be dependable. Amana means you're given a task and you uphold that. Now here's the deal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his level of amana was par excellence. Par excellence. We can't compete, but we must imitate. We must imitate. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had to be trustworthy. Why? Subhanallah. I don't want to skip ahead, but even when they're kicking him out of the city, he has to tell Ali to stay back to return their goods, because even though y'all hate me, y'all know I'm the most trustworthy person in the city. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the very first thing that will be lifted from this ummah, I have the hadith here. Anna Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam qal, awwalu ma yarfa'u min an-nas al-amana. The very first thing that will be taken out of our hearts is amana. The ummah won't be trustworthy. You wonder why Islam ain't spreading? Because people can't trust the Muslims that they work with. They know they'll cut a bit off the top. They'll cut a bit off the hours. They'll do what they have to. Oh, Dar al-Harb. You know what I mean? They know. The Rasul said to them, how did Islam spread? Islam began because they could say, we know this man is trustworthy. And if he won't lie to you about dunya, how dare he would ever lie about akhirah? The people can't trust us with their dunya. How would they trust us with their akhirah? Amana, to be dependable, is the very first thing the Prophet ﷺ said will be taken out of the ummah. You'll look around and know you can't trust no one. And the Rasul ﷺ, he said, وَآخْرُ مَا يَبَقَى الصَّلَاةِ. The last thing that will remain will still be salah. وَرُبَّ مُسَلِّنْ لَا خَيْرَ فِيهِ. And there's some people praying, but there's no khair inside. Amana, y'all. Amana was heavy. But let's go forward. The next stage of his life. They got to see how trustworthy he was. So that when he stood on a mountain in some years and said, "Do y'all trust me?" they would all say, "Of course we trust you. We've never known you to say anything not upright." So for me, the lesson here is protect your character. Protect your character. Be trustworthy. And that's between you and God only. That's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your ability to give this message to other people, even your own children, lies in the fact of you being trustworthy. And the most beautiful thing about our ummah has always been, my teacher used to say, he grew up in Medina. He grew up in Medina. Sheikh Mansour. And he said that whenever the adhan would go off, he was a kid, this 30, 40 years ago. Whenever the adhan would go off, he said there would be sarraf, money exchangers, with thousands of dollars, because they exchange on a table like this. They would take off a cloth, cover it up, and go salli. My teacher says, "I've seen that before." Because a Muslim would never think about Allah. Now our state is different in all of our countries. But what about us Muslims in America? Can we rewrite the script? Can we bring that back? Can you become the most trustworthy person at work, at school, in your family? What happens next? We're at the age of 25 and we're at new stuff now. The narration says, Abu Talib comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bask in his beauty, y'all. Abu Talib comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 25. He's been doing business now for 10 years, working for Abu Talib. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be exposed to something bigger. Why? Because this message is global. He's going to be giving dawah to Hiraqal, the king of the Byzantine Empire. He's going to be giving dawah to Najashi. You can't just be local. You got to understand more people. So the next stage is you need to become a businessman on the national, international platform. That's what he needed now. So he understands different people. It's beautiful. So at the age of 25, Abu Talib comes to him. And he says, "Ana rajul la mal li." He says to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "I'm a man that I don't have much wealth." وَقَدْ اشْتَدَّ الزَّمَانَ عَلَيْنَا. It's very tough times right now. And he says, this caravan is about to head up to Suriya in Sham. And Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Ah, Khadija. Tonight's about Khadija, y'all. Tonight's about Khadija radiallahu anha. It serves us enough to know that her name, when you say it, you say Khadija tul Kubra. In Islam, Khadija tul Kubra, Khadija the Great. That's it, the Great. When you realize who she is. Abu Talib, he says, Khadija, she sends men with her merchandise to go sell it. He says, "You should go to her and present yourself. I'm sure she would immediately accept you as working for her." Look what he says. Lima yabalughaha anka min taharatika. Because she has heard about how trustworthy and pure you are. While every other merchant is cutting corners, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being loyal, and look where it brought him. I know what we think. If I don't cut corners like the rest of my co-workers, everybody's getting ahead. And this moment in the seerah tells us something. Amana brings rizq. Amana brings rizq. Don't let the dunya lie to you. Amana brings rizq. So he says, it's beautiful, Allahu Akbar. He says, she's heard about how pure you are. Notice, they already know who he is, age 25. وَفَضَّلْتُكَ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِكَ. She'll give you preference over everyone else. Now the Prophet ﷺ, something else we know about his character. And I think a lot of us could connect to this. He was naturally very shy. He was naturally very introverted, but he had a job to do. So he put the mask on to be with the people. A lot of us, man, you give me a book in a room, cozy tea. But we got to go to the ummah. We got to be with people. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi was naturally very shy. So when Abu Talib says, why don't you go to Khadija? He goes, maybe she'll sin for me. He says that. He says, she'll sin for me if she wants. The narration tells us that Khadija radiallahu anha had heard about him. Of course, she heard about him. A man of that caliber, businessman. So the narration says, وَكَانَتْ Khadija. We got to talk about her though. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was widowed 2 times. And Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had Hind from her first husband. Hind was her name. And from her second husband, she had Hind, who's a boy. Same name, different gender. I don't know what was going on. Hala and Tahir. So Khadija had 4 children. And she was extremely wealthy. And she was known for her sharaf, meaning honor, dignity, and chastity. Chastity. A pure woman. A pure woman. Ah. And she had heard about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the narrations say that, here I'm going to read directly. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَهَا عَلْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مَا بَلَغَهَا. When she heard the narrate, like what people said about him, listen what they say. مِنْ صِدْقْ حَدِيثِهِ. Always speak straight. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. This is the verses you read at marriage. Speak straight. Speak clear. Allahu Akbar. And she heard of عِظَمَ أَمَانَتِهِ. She heard about how trustworthy and dependable he was. His beautiful character. So she sent somebody, go present my offer, that I would like him to work for me. So, she calls for him to come. Would you like to work for me? He's going big now, leveling up in the industry. This is a big deal. She says to him, أنا أعطيك ضعف ما أعطي رجال من قومك. She goes, I'll give you double what anyone else pays. So the Prophet said, my uncle's poor. We got a lot of family members. I got to take this offer. And when Abu Talib heard, he said, رِزْقٌ قَدَ سَاقَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. This risk Allah is bringing your way. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, in the days of Jahiliyyah, her nickname was Tahira. In Jahiliyyah, before Islam, her nickname was the pure one, Tahira. Because of her piety, وَكَانَتْ بَرَّةً نَقِيَّةً. She was pure. She was عَقَلْ وَاسِعَ. Now, remember what we said about businessmen and women just a minute ago. Businessmen and women recognize people a mile away. They read you when you walk in the door. So don't think this brilliantly sharp woman who was running a multi-million dollar corporation didn't see straight through who he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala an was married twice, as I said. And when her second husband passed away, the rishtas, the proposals started coming. Kept knocking at the door. The narrators, they say no, but Khadija said, you know what? I'm going to focus on raising these 4 children and building my business. And here I would like to highlight, raising a family and devoting your life to raising a family is nothing small. That's alim in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We belittle that nowadays. We don't want to sacrifice anything for our children. I'm going to be real. This halakha, I try to keep it real. We have celebrities having surrogate children because you can't mess up my trajectory of my career. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't act like y'all know what I'm talking about. I can't even carry you. Can you imagine when that kid is 18 and somebody's like, yo, you know she ain't even carry you, Habibi? Do you imagine what that would do to a human being? That wasn't even enough to be carried? Khadijah said, I'm not taking any more offers. I'm good. I'm going to focus on my children. I'm going to raise them. I'm going to build them up. But low-key, there was something else going on. Low-key, something else was going on. There's a narration that's mentioned in all of the books of Sirah. You got to study Khadijah deeply and understand who was around her. Her cousin was one of the most profound, educated scholars of Christianity in the city. Her own cousin. She herself was brilliant. And there's a narration that says, there was a day of celebration in Mecca. There was a day of celebration in Mecca. And Ibn Ishaq says, كان لنساء قريش عيدا يجتمعنا فيه في المسجد. There was a day when the Quraysh, the women used to get together and just have their own little party together. So they got together around the Kaaba. And there was this one Yahudi. There's this one Yahudi. Because Medina's right there. There's a large population of Jews. There was one Jewish man. He came. And he's kind of creeping them out, low-key. For real. He's standing around. It's a sister's party. And dude just keep chilling in the cut. Like, bruh. Like, bro, why you sitting by the door over there, man? Like, low-key, for real. No, <I'm> just, like, why you sitting by the door, man? Sit over here. Why you by the door? So he's subhanAllah, he's sitting there, and everyone's kind of thrown off by this guy. And he says something. He says, Ya ma'shara nisa'u Quraysh, O women of Quraysh, innahu yushik fayakun nabiyun. He says, the time is coming for the final prophet. What you got to understand is people of religion were already waiting for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hiraqal in the Byzantine Empire had already expected the final prophet is here. The Yahud, subhanAllah, the Yahud of Medina used to poke fun at the mushriks of Medina, the polytheist of Medina, and say, you know what? The new prophet is coming, and when he comes, watch what we do to y'all. We'll see what happens when he came. But the point I'm trying to get you to understand is that the people of religion knew that the Christianity of Jesus had been gone and that it was time for the final prophet to come. So they were waiting. So this man, this Yahudi, he says to these women of Quraysh, he says, the time has come, y'all, for the final prophet. But then he says something that throws them all off. He says, فَأَيُّكُنَّ إِسْتَطَاعَتْ أَن تَكُونَ فِرَاشًا لَهُ. Whichever one of y'all gets the chance to marry him, فَلْتَفْعَلْ, you better do it. But when you speak like that to a group of women, that's very vulgar. So they all picked up, you know, like for real. So they all picked up stones and rocks and they start throwing at him. Like, get out of here, what are you saying? But the narration says, وَأَغَضَّتْ خَدِيجَةُ عَلَىٰ قَوْلِي. Khadijah never forgot it. She remembered, she was like, my cousin, Waraqa, this dude's saying some weird stuff. Plus, she's a businesswoman who gets news all and up and down the coast. Khadijah radiallahu anh, when she saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she saw the qualities. So, Ibn Ishaq says, فَوَقَرَ ذَٰلِكَ فِي نَفْسِهَا. That sat in her heart. She never forgot that. And then years and years later, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the young man appears. Everyone's talking about him and this and that. So she hires the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go to Sham, Busra, to the edge of the Byzantine Empire at the time. And she sends her servant, Maysara. Maysara is a very special person in this story. All of his uncles see him out, first big business trip. You know what I mean? Like your mom tie your tie for you. Y'all know about that. You know, she's happy you finally made it to the big leagues. So all the uncles see him out. And he's in charge of this huge caravan of merchandise. And Maysara begins to be one of the first people to start to see miracles. Because here's the deal, y'all. When Abu Bakr, hold up, you ready? When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, when people ran up to him and said, you hear what Muhammad says today? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that in one night he went to the heavens and back and went to Jerusalem, Isra and Mi'raj. In one night he went, in one night he traveled to Jerusalem and he ascended into the heavens. Do you believe him? They said this to Abu Bakr. The day after, the journey, the night journey. Abu Bakr looked him in the face and he said, I believe something even more amazing. I believe that revelation from God comes on his heart. Everything else is easy, yo. I believe that the infinite, Allah, the creator of the samawat wal ard, this massive universe that has no end to our knowledge, is communicating with us through this man. He goes, travel to Jerusalem, that ain't nothing. I believe in revelation. Why am I saying that? Because right now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is getting Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and people ready for the lights to turn on. Let me give you an example, yo. So, you know when it's Fajr and you was like 15 and your mom will wake you up? It was sudden, yo. I don't know. I was not Muslim, but I'm assuming. She'd turn the lights on. Wake up. Lights on quick. Yell at you. You feel like Qiyamah. One day I was at my grandmother's house spending the night. She was beautiful, mashallah. She woke me up. It was no Fajr for me, y'all, you know. But the way she woke me up, she started just rubbing my back. And I woke up slowly coming. She's like, Michael, breakfast is ready. I'm like, Grandma, I love you. Mom, man, she just, you know, turned the light on. Mashallah. They got their own different love. See, the lights on abruptly is scary, it's shocking. But the lights gradually coming on allow us to get used to them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is about to come with the full nur. Some of that light needs to start coming, or else it's going to be too heavy for people. You feel me? So Maysara, he's traveling with him. And the first thing we need to talk about is Maysara fell in love with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narrations say, by the time they got back, it was as if Maysara was not a servant for Khadijah, but a servant of Muhammad. He fell in love with him, as did everyone who spent time with him. He fell in love with him. And he said, he never lied. He's his business partner, y'all. Your business partner knows, man. They know you. He says he never cheated anyone. But then we made double profits. What the whole caravan would bring, we made double. There's barakah in honesty. There's barakah in honesty, y'all. I'm telling you. All your colleagues saying get ahead by cutting corners. We get ahead by following the sunnah. That's it. Trust it. There'll be barakah. Trust it. From the depths of your heart. Maysara says, I saw crazy stuff. Maysara said, I knew this man was special. But you know what's funny? Hold on, before we get to what he saw. Here's a question I have. What? Maysara was sent by Khadija to watch him. But why? She already knew how trustworthy he was. That's what he's known for. She was looking for deeper signs. Khadija radiallahu anha had heard Waraka. She used to always go to Waraka and listen to him talk about final prophet, Jesus, revelation. She sent Maysara to see exactly what he saw. And what did he see? Maysara says, the first thing I noticed, the first miracle of Prophet Muhammad I saw, is that as he was walking and we were in the desert, you imagine that desert heat. Our brother Hussein, he took that journey through that desert. That desert heat is intense. Maysara said, I noticed the caravan is large. He said, I noticed that I would be sweating in the sun. But when I would look at him, he would be in the shade, and I would look up and I would see clouds over him. I would see the clouds above the prophet. And he said, I saw it once, I saw it twice. And he said, I realized by the time we got to Shem that the whole journey, the prophet was covered by these clouds. He said, this is weird. What am I seeing? Then he says something else happened. He says, when we got to Busra, we enter into these new people. These are different people. These are the Byzantine. They're Arabs coming up from the depths of Arabia. They're completely different. But this is a common trade route, so they're used to these people coming up. This is a rihlat ash-shita'i was-sayf. This is every year they make this journey. So Maysara says, there was this monk named Nastur who was in his monastery, and he would sit by the road and watch the caravans come. And we came through the gates of Busra, and we settled down, and we started to put our merchandise. And I started to unpack everything. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was tired. 25 years old, Muhammad the man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he goes, and there's a tree, and he rests under the tree just to collect himself. Nastur runs out. And these are the words of the narration, y'all. He comes out, فَطَلَعَ الرَّاهِبُ. He looks out of his monastery and he sees Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the rahib Nastur, he runs over to Maysara, the servant that was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tasked to watch him. He says, مَنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي تَحْتَ هَذِهِ الشَّجْرَةِ. He says, who's this man? قَالَ لَهُ مَيْسَرَ مَيْرَسَرَ. He says, it's a man from Quraysh. We're from Ahlul Haram. And he says, no, I already know, but who is he? Tells him his name. And Maysara says, Wallah, ma nazala tahta hadhihi shajara qatu illa nabiyun. This man's a prophet. I know by where he's sitting and how he's sitting. This man is a prophet of God. He said to Maysara, does he have a slight redness in his eyes? Maysara goes, yes, it never leaves him. Nastur goes, huwa nabi. Maysara doesn't know what a nabi is. He goes, he's a prophet. He's the final prophet. Now they do their merchandise, they sell everything, and Maysara says that at one moment there was a man who was selling some stuff with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the man started to argue with the Prophet about the price, and he said to the Prophet, "Ihlif bil Lat wal Uzza," take an oath by the gods Lat and Uzza, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Ma halaftu bihima qattu," I don't recognize idols. I've never worshipped an idol in my life. I'll never swear by them. The Nastur then comes over and he says to Maysara again, this is the prophet that is written in our books. This is the prophet that is written in our books. Now, a lot of us sometimes think, if the Prophet witnessed this man coming up to him, then later in life, why was it so hard? Well, let me put you in his shoes. You go to New York City, get off at the airport, you know, crazy city, and some dude looks kind of homeless, walks up to you, like, what's your name? You're it, yo. You're like, yo, I'm out. But the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's not, and especially such a high maqam. It's not like, oh, you're a very nice person. You're like, yeah, you know. No, you're a prophet of God. The Rasul was a humble man. So this strange, random person coming up to him, saying to him, who are you? What are you doing? Let me look at you. You're the prophet. He's like, who? I don't. And he continues with his life. But later on, it all comes together like a flashback. Y'all seen the movies before, right? When that moment comes, it's all pieces together. It's all coming back. But in this moment, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's like, who are you? I got business to do here. Please excuse me, sir. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes back with Maysara. By this time, Maysara is like clay, putty in his hands because of his akhlaq. He's like, this man is special. He is special. He is special. He is special. Immediately when they arrive back, Maysara goes immediately to Khadija. Khadija is waiting. Tell me everything that happened. And Maysara tells her everything. In this moment, Khadija broke the norms of society. Allah. She broke the norms of society. She said, I want to marry him. You don't do that. That doesn't fit with the adab and the social norms. She said, how did it happen though? Now, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Y'all ready? This is the tea part, yo. This is the beautiful part. See, hold on though. I told you every part of his life was to prepare him for the message, for the job. See, you're not ready yet to carry this message until you've carried a family. Y'all ain't ready for that, see? The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a shepherd. He learned how to control and care and look out for beings that don't care for their own good. Then he became a businessman. He learned how to understand people. Then he went international. He learned how to understand different cultures. But now he's not ready for the message yet. Because how can you carry revelation? How can you carry Islam if you can't carry a child? If you can't carry a wife? If you can't carry a family? This is a part of the stages of what Allah wants us to do and learn. So how did it happen? It's beautiful. I know y'all like, we trying, Sheikh, we trying. Don't worry, yo, it's a risk, it's written, yo. You just worry about cleaning yourself because the purity within you will attract the purity from the other. Work on yourself. So what happens? The first thing is her sister gets involved. Her sister, the narration, her sister's name is Hala. Hala. The narration says that Khadija, أَنَّهَا تَحَدَّثَتْ مَعَ عَمَّارِ. Khadija goes to her sister, Hala, and kind of says, you know, I'm interested in marrying Muhammad. Hub, hub. This is a story of pure hub. Pure hub. Amazing love. A love with loyalty that doesn't end. Amazing story of love between these two. So, subhanAllah, Hala is standing in the street somewhere, and the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is walking past with Ammar bin Yasir. Oh man, that name. He's someone who will go through so much in the future, but we're not there yet. Right now, he's just a friend of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They're walking down the street, and Hala is walking. She sees them, and she says, Ammar! Ammar comes over to talk to her. It's the days of Jahiliyyah, y'all. The Prophet ﷺ, it says his character was that if he wasn't called, he wouldn't come over. So he stayed where he was, and Ammar came over. فَانْصَرَفْتُ إِلَيْهَا Ammar says, I went to her. وَوَقَفَ لِي رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ The Prophet ﷺ, he stayed and waited for me, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَتْ She said, أَمَا لِصَاحِبِكَ هَذَا مِنْ حَاجَ فِي تَزْوِيجِ Is your friend trying to get married? Man, man, that's the phrase that goes down for, subhanAllah. Is your friend trying to get married? SubhanAllah. فَقَالَ Ammar. Ammar radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, أَخْبَرْتُهَا. Let me talk to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went over to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ بَلَا لَأُمْرِ. He says, yeah, I'm definitely trying to get married. That's one narration. Another narration is that her friend Nafisa, subhanAllah. So Nafisa, she says, قالت, كانت خديجة بنت خويلة امرأة حازمة. She says that my friend Khadija was a woman of intelligence. جلدتن, she was strong. شريفة, honorable. ما أرادها الله بها من الكرامة, but Allah wanted some good for her too. وهي يوم إذن, and she was one of the most noble women of the Quraysh. وكل قومها, and all of her people were trying to marry her. She rejected everyone. So Nafisa says, فَأَرْسَلَتْنِي دَسِيسًا إِلَى مُحَمَّدٍ She sent me as a spy. Deceased? She sent me as a spy to figure out from Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after he came back from Sham. By the way, it's only 2 months after the journey by the time they're married. Didn't waste time. Didn't wait right after. فَقُلْتُ يَا مُحَمَّدٍ Listen to Nafisa speak to Muhammad, the man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma yamna'uka an tatazawwaj. Why are you not getting married? I mean, how many times have we heard that line? Why aren't you getting married? فَقَالَ Look what he says. And connect to him on these words. مَا بِيَدِي مَا أَتَزَوَّجْ I don't have in my hands what's necessary to get married. I would love a spouse. I don't have the money for it. Oh, I thought you just came back from Sham. I have a family. You know, I got a family we're taking care of. مَا بِيَدِي أَتَزَوَّجْ I don't have what it takes. The money. قُلْتُ فَإِنْ كُفِيتَ ذَلِكَ What if somebody took care of the money? وَدُعِيتَ إِلَى الْمَالِ وَالْجِمَالِ وَالشَّرَفِ And you were called to wealth, beauty, honor. Would you respond? قَالَ فَمَنْ هِيَ He said, who? Allahu Akbar. قُلْتُ خَدِيجَ He says, look at the humility. وَكَيْفَ لِي بِذَلِكَ Where is me and where is her? Allahu Akbar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah make us so good, we don't see our goodness. Our problem is the moment we start getting good, we think we good. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is at the highest level, but he looks at Khadijah and he goes, what's her level to me? Come on, that's not me. Man, that would be nice, but you know. قَالَ قُلْتُ She says, Nafisa, عَلَيَّ I take care of that. عَلَيَّ I'll take care of it. قَالَ فَأَنَا أَفْعَلْ I'm down. وَلَمَّا عَلِمَتْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ When Khadijah radiallahu anh found out that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ready to move forward, he called his uncle, called all the brothers, called her uncle because her father had passed already, and the marriage was done. But we're not done. Because the story of Khadijah and his love for her teaches Muslim men what true love really means. It teaches us the ideal of what love in a marriage is about. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never, ever, ever forgot her. And I'm going to fast forward and see her to the moment she passes away. It's 8 years into Nabuwa, after the boycott, where they starved Muslims to death pretty much. Khadijah radiallahu anha, when we come out of the boycott, she's very old, around 65, 64 years old. The Prophet ﷺ married her at the age of 40. That means 25 years. That was the love of his life. When she passed away a few days or months after the boycott. And she passed away fi Ramadan. SubhanAllah. And the narration says that she passed away after having being with some, with the Rasul for 25 years. I think that word needs to be, to be with someone for 25 years and then lose them. I can't imagine. وَقَدَ وَجَدَ The narration says, the Prophet ﷺ was deeply pained when she died. What did he do? وَلَزِمَ الْبَيْتَهُ He didn't go out the house. He didn't leave the house. He didn't feel like leaving. وَأَقَلَّ الْخُرُوجِ He barely went out. خَوْلَ بِنْتَ حَكِيمِ A friend of both of theirs. She says, I went to the Rasul. I said, Ya Rasulullah, ka'anni araka. I see that there has a gap has entered you. Like you're missing something. He says, Ajal, yeah. Kanat umul ayal. She was the mother of my children. Warabbat al bayt. She was the queen of my house. That's our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I said, he never ever forgot her. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says about Khadijah. She says, "Ma ghirtu ala imra'atin." I didn't have any jealousy over any wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the way I had jealousy of Khadijah. Walaqad halaqat qabli قَبْرَ أَن تَزَوَّجْنِي بِثَلَاثَ سِنِينَ She died 3 years before he even married me. But I used to hear the Prophet ﷺ speak about her in such an honorable way. One day she says, subhanAllah, look at the loyalty of the Rasul to Khadijah. She says, كان الرسول لا يكاد يخرج من بيت. He would barely go out of the house without mentioning Khadija. فيحسن الثناء عليها. And he would speak about her. She was so good. She this, that, and the third. فذكرها يوما. She says, one day he mentioned her, and I got upset. Aisha says, I got upset. فقلت, I know it sounds rough, but it's okay. It's her words. She says, قال هل كانت إلا عجوزا من العرب؟ عجوز just means an elderly woman, okay? هل كانت إلا عجوزا من العرب؟ She says, she was just an old woman from the Arabs. She's upset. قد أبدلك الله خيرا منها. And Allah has given you better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's getting lit, right? فغضب. Hold on. Loyalty. فغضب. Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم got angry. And he said, لا والله, لا والله, لا والله, ما أبدلني الله خيرا منها. Allah has not replaced her. You're special. SubhanAllah, we know how much he loved Aisha. We know a man walked up, who do you love the most? Aisha. But to say you replaced someone that was there for me in my hardest moments, that loyalty he never forgot. He loved her deeply. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, listen to these words. Listen. آمنت بي إذ كفر الناس. She believed in me when nobody believed in me. You know how when you're in a point in life where you just need people to believe in you, that you could do it? She believed in me when nobody believed in me. وصدقتني إذ كذبني الناس. She said I was true when the whole world was against me. And she helped me with her money when nobody would give me. Do you know what's amazing? Let's come back to the verse of Quran. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Lord is not upset with you and he has not forsaken you. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah will give you soon, you'll be pleased. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Didn't he find you as a yatim and bring you in? وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. Didn't he find you lost and guide you, O Muhammad? And now listen to this. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا. He found you poor. وَأَغْنَى. And he gave you money. Do you know what Imam Qurtubi says? He found you poor and gave you Khadija. She's in the Quran. أَغْنَاهُ. أَغْنَى. How dare you say he honored her for life and honored her in death. That's love. Aisha says, فَقُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي لَا وَاللَّهِ I'll have never mentioned her bad again. He was loyal to her forever. Listen to this. One of the scholars says, خَدِيجَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ فَهِيَ مِنْ Listen and relish and ask Allah to give you this. هِيَ مِنْ نِعْمِ اللَّهِ جَلِيلَ عَلَيْهِ. Khadija was one of the greatest ni'mas that Allah gave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa awwalu man saddaqahu. Oh, first to believe in him. And she stood by his side. Wa azaratu, and she supported him. She strengthened him. Everybody trying to be the main character. Everyone in the room trying to be the main character. Why can't we help other people? Maybe that's how you get your Jannah. Everybody got main character energy, yo. Support, help other people. It's not all about you. It's not about you. It's about you leaving your mark on people and helping them reach their best state. And who knows, when you're helping the other person, that's when you are given the most help. We are mentioning her name today. Why? She helped him in his toughest moment. The narrations that talk about him speaking about her, Imam Nawawi says, he says, these hadith indicate to preserving love and protecting someone in their death and life. More narrations. Guess what else he used to do, y'all? Whenever a friend of hers was around, Oh man, look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to this narration. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, Ja'at ajuzun, an elderly lady came one day, ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa huwa indi. An elderly lady came, 70s, Khadija was 65 when she died, maybe even older, 75. An elderly woman came. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Man anti, who are you? You know, like, who are you? She says, Ana Juthama. فَقَالَ بَلْ أَنْتِ حَسَّانَ. Juthama had a bad connotation to it. So if someone had a bad name, he would switch it. He would give him a good name. And then he goes, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, كَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ? How y'all doing? كَيْفَ حَالُكُمْ? How's everything? كَيْفَ كُنْتُمْ بَعْدَنَا? كَيْفَ كُنْتُمْ بَعْدَنَا? How are you after we left? Meaning the old days. Somebody you knew from back in the day. قَالَتْ بِخَيْرِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَلَمَّا خَرَجَتْ. When the woman left, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Like, you sit with this elderly woman like this and talk. Who is she? He says, إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ تَعْتِينَا زَمَنَ خَدِيجَةً. Man, she used to come when Khadija was around. She reminded me of the good old days. She reminded me of Khadija. And one of the hard narrations I'll share with you, and we can read about what he was like as we end tonight. One time, this will take a little time to explain, but it was after the Battle of Badr. I have to give you a little backdrop so you get the full weight of the moment. In the Battle of Badr, Abu al-As was captured, and he's the husband of Zainab, the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ. So he's a non-Muslim, y'all. And he was captured in this battle, and Zainab is in Mecca, the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ. And Zainab is sending something to ransom him to get him free. Right? So Zainab, she looks through her stuff and she finds a necklace that her mother gave her when she got married. And she sends that necklace to Medina to ransom. So all the stuff is coming. The Prophet is moving things around, whatever. And the moment the Prophet ﷺ sees the necklace, flashback, everything comes back. Everything. The house, the kids, the yard. It all comes back. You pick something up and it just all comes, floods in. It all floods in. And immediately his heart breaks. فَرَقَّ رَقَّةٍ شَدِيدًا. And he just starts weeping, weeping, weeping. This was his love for Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. This is what a Muslim husband should idealize. This is who he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. He was loyal to the last moment. In this Wednesday night class, we read some of the life of his to gain lesson, but we also read about his description so that we can see him in our dreams and we can imitate him. The greatest blessing is to see him in your dream. That brother who saw me, have you seen him yet? Y'all don't know the story? So I want to read two things to y'all about who he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first one that I want to read to you was about how personable he was with people. Listen to this. Picture him, and while we're listening, just send salawat ala nabi in your heart. Anas says, the messenger of Allah was the most knowledgeable, conscientious, noble, just, forbearing, and chaste of people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best and most generous and brave of people. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zayd bin Thabit says, a group of people went to see Zayd bin Thabit. They said to him, can you please tell us something about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, what shall I tell you? I was his neighbor. When revelation would descend upon him, he would send for me and I would write it down. Allahu Akbar. When we would speak about worldly matters, he would speak about them as well. Meaning he wasn't like, oh, y'all talking about football, whatever. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. La, He says when we would speak about worldly matters, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi would speak with us. And when we would speak about the hereafter, he would talk about the akhirah too with us. When we would speak about food, he would speak about it likewise. The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would occasionally, when we were around him, we would occasionally rehearse poetry. You know, I mean, this is what it is. We would recite poetry and his presence. And we would, this, I love this. We would jokingly talk about the things we used to do pre-Jahiliyyah. Subhanallah. You know, whatever. We would joke about Jahiliyyah, man. Yo, remember we used to, remember? You know, some of you guys who went to med school together, you talk about med school days. Hey, you remember that teacher? Hey, you remember that? So when we would sit around and talk about Jahiliyyah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would smile and look at us and laugh. He would smile. He was there with us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he would not stop us until we said something haram, we did something wrong. Of people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was constantly smiling and laughter in his presence, in the presence of his companions. I love this, listen. Ever expressing amazement with what they spoke to him. Meaning if you spoke to him, he was dialed in. Really? Wow, subhanAllah. He was there. Don't we wish we had, subhanAllah. You tell somebody something, subhanAllah, where's the excitement, the sunnah? Is that excitement, really? Wow, subhanAllah. And mean it, be real. He says he would sometimes smile till his molars showed. That's how big his smile would be. Listen to this. One day, a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. But his demeanor had changed and was unrecognizable to the companions. He was in a different mood and we didn't recognize the mood. The man wanted to ask the Prophet something. So he was a Bedouin. So the way, you got to understand, Dihati, man, Dihati, they're Bedouins. They don't know the adab of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They're Bedouins, so they're really rough. They don't know the adab. Nah, y'all don't feel me? You know what I'm saying? The Bedouins, they don't know the manners. So they would say things off the cuff and they would say things not in the right way sometimes. But the Sahaba loved them. Because they like, we used to get the most juiciest questions from the Bedouins. We used to get the best questions. We would be shy with the Bedouins. Just like, excuse me. So listen to this. I know there's brothers and sisters here for Salah. So we're going to end with this. It's beautiful. He says, one of the Bedouins, the Bedouin, he came and he wanted to ask the Prophet a question. And we said to him, oh Bedouin, don't do it. Don't you see, like, he's not in his normal state right now. The Bedouin replied, by Allah who sent him with truth, I'm not going to leave here till I make him smile. He then goes, Ya Rasulullah. Subhanallah. Don't you wish you had friends like that? Allahu Akbar. Sahaba were special. He said, Ya Rasulullah, we have heard that when the Antichrist, Dajjal, comes, he will punish people with no food. And they will be dying from hunger. And he says they'll have farid. Dajjal will have farid. Farid is just imagine like biryani or maghluba, right? The Dajjal will have farid. And he'll be tempting us. So I ask a question, Ya Rasulullah. May my mother and father be sacrificed for you. Do you think I should refrain from the farid and die of emaciation. I was trying to get a look in my hair. You give me the wrong word. Emaciation. Should I die from hunger? And then he goes, or should I, listen to what he says, or should I eat the tharid, and when I'm full, say, I believe in Allah and I believe in the Rasul. The Prophet laughed so hard when he heard this. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was beautiful in all of his ways. People have asked, are we going to continue this? in Ramadan, and I thought to myself, what better way to spend the moments before we break our fast but learning for 40 minutes, 45 minutes about the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So inshallah, this halakha is going to continue in Ramadan. It will be shifted to prior to the same time as the Roots programs. It will be shifted to prior to Maghrib, inshallah. I'll see y'all on the other side of Ramadan, y'all. Inshallah. May Allah allow us to reach it.
Ameen.
Just Allah, if we make it, alhamdulillah, we've witnessed the blessed month. May Allah give us love of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah allow us to appreciate and learn from the lessons of his life. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. If we could call the adhan, we are like...